Welcome back again to the Chasing Tone podcast. And today we have a very special guest for you. Those who have been fans of the show might remember Travis Feaster, who left about a year ago to take another job. And Travis came back to the shed where I breadboard everything and do all the videos. And we sat down and just kind of talked a little bit about what he's been up to and everything that's going on in his life, what he's doing now. Talked about the guitars he's into, the different amps he's into, the amp he built, all kinds of great stuff. So with that, let's dig right into this next episode with Travis.
I'm back.
Finally. How's it like working for Boss?
Yeah, I do have a boss. I'm kind of my own boss, but... You know, I did like that. Yeah, I was working for better benefits.
Yeah, so since this, what the hell has it been?
A year.
Yeah, it has.
Because it was right before Summer NAMM.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah, it's been a year.
Man, oh man.
Flies by, man.
Yeah.
I swear, once you have children, it gets even faster.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why the correlation. It's something to do with having kids and the space-time continuum speeds up.
I think it has something to do with that.
Or maybe it's the fact that I'm older.
Hair loss and stress and, yeah.
I don't know about hair loss. I still got... I could have the mane.
Yeah, I got...
You got a reverse yarmulke.
I do. I've been nurturing that guy. Nurturing it nice and slow. So people on Facebook...
Okay.
Remember that place?
I do remember Facebook.
Yeah, I remember Facebook.
And, that's all funny. You know, that by the time this comes out, Pokemon Go will probably be out of date. Right. Probably be like, oh, that was the last thing. You know, whatever. Right. But I saw somebody put something on there like, I can't stand these people doing Pokemon Go and wasting all their time. Can't you see I'm an adult and I have other things to do, like bitch about it on Facebook?
Exactly.
Somebody's always mad about something. Okay, go ahead.
No, I agree, man. Let's see. So, Jeffrey, Jeffrey asked why you're switching from Fender-y type guitars to Gibson-y type stuff lately.
Man, it's just different flavors. It's kind of like, I love steak,
mm-hmm.
but every now and again I want chicken. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I know that sounds stupid, but...
Yeah, I found like we were talking about that earlier. Mm-hmm. I mean... I've been playing a lot more Strats and Les Paul type stuff than Telecasters mm-hmm. lately.
Which is crazy. That's crazy talk.
Yeah. I never would have done. In fact, but, you know, a year ago, I despised Stratocasters.
I told you, if you just play a good one. You can't go like... And yes, the funny thing about Strats, my favorite Strat right now, I own two Don Gross Retro Classics. I bet one of them's a $3,000 guitar. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. Right. You know, Don's been really good to me, and... He treated me really well on my last one. But anyway, my favorite Strat that I've been playing now is my $100 Squire
mm-hmm.
that I got in 1998, or 96, which is the year I started playing guitars, my first ever guitar.
It's funny you say that. I have a $100 Squire Strat that I love as well.
I know, man. And I wish I had it now because the neck, like this thing is relict. And when I say relict, I mean I played the crap out of it for 20 years, and it looks the way it looks.
Right. Took you 20 years to relic it that
exactly,
way.
Exactly. Overnight. 20 years, overnight. But
so you're offering that as a service now, right?
Yeah, just let me borrow your guitar for 20
yeah.
years. But no, the main thing, there's a couple reasons with the change to... Basically, I finally found a Les Paul that I fell in love with. It has a huge baseball butt neck.
What's that thing in?
There
it is.
Right here. Let me see. Is this going to pop?
Okay. I don't know. Yep, but it sure does.
Oops.
It'll be fine.
But yeah, this thing, you know, most of the time when you find a Les Paul that has the big baseball bat neck on it, they're $3,000 to $5,000. And that's just... Sorry, I know the word boutique gets thrown out a lot, but like... That's too much to pay for a guitar, in my opinion. You know, and if you have the money to do it, that's vintage money. That's what I call it. That's vintage guitar money. But this is just a 2012 Les Paul Traditional, and it's got that huge neck on it. And I don't know, it came from Sweetwater. I don't know if it was like an exclusive to Sweetwater
or
not.
Does your G string stay in tune?
It does.
Really? Trade you.
See?
Wow.
But crazy. No, I finally found one that I fell in love with, and I've always liked the sound of them, but I just can never afford one.
Mm-hmm.
And finally was able to afford one that was made.
The light just fell down. That's awesome.
I ruin things. First it's guitars, now it's lights. But and the thing too is I've been playing a lot of rock lately, and it's kind of hard to rock with a Strat.
Yeah, it's a totally different type of rock.
You know, right, exactly. I've been playing in a 90s rock band, which, you know, is awesome. And then, which never realized all the little bitty guitar parts that stuck in those songs. But, and a lot of it too is...
I like all that stuff.
It overdrives an amp a little harder. Mm-hmm. Humbuckers just push amps harder. Mm-hmm. And I like the way that my pedals respond to humbuckers after listening to them respond to Stratocasters
right.
for so many years.
Right.
It's almost like...
It's almost like buying all new pedals.
Exactly. You don't, you know, you didn't change a thing on your board, but it's completely different tones. And it's that, and it makes you play different.
It does.
You know, I'm going to play different licks on this than I would play it on a Strat.
Right.
You know, but then again, like, I don't want to play Hendrix on a Les Paul. Because it just sounds weird to me. I mean, I will if I have to, but, you know, it's just not my favorite thing. So that's probably... That, and I've also switched to Marshall-y sounding amps, but I've always been a big Marshall fan. So.
Right. But you used to do more blackface-y style stuff, right?
Yeah. Till I played a Plexi. That ruined my whole life.
And you built that one.
Yeah, I did build this amp. So
let's see. Let's see if we can see it here.
It's a genuine ostrich.
Look at that mug.
Three payments.
Look at that guy.
It's real nice. Huh? Hand-wired by Mr. Feaster himself. Which means it took, like, I had to build it a couple times for it to get to work. It's my first one, though. I'm really proud of it. I'm not going to lie. It's a clone, you know. I didn't design the circuit. It's an 18-watt Marshall instead of a tremolo. It's three-band EQ with a master volume. And then the other channel is just volume and tone, like the 2061 circuit. And then I have a switch on there where you can switch from tube to diode rectification.
Yeah, I'm not going to stick the camera inside this inside the chassis.
But it's there.
It's there, trust me.
And don't touch the caps.
That's the tip to making them sound good, is not killing yourself, right?
Exactly. And the only reason I had the guts to build the amp, to be honest with you, is you can't electrocute yourself before electricity is ever introduced to the circuit.
Mm-hmm. So as long as it worked the first time.
The problem is, it didn't. It turned on.
So you threw it away and bought a new kit.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, if I ever do buy one, I'm just going to use the kit. Mm-hmm. Because I geeked out, man. I was like, I got to have Classic Tone power transformer, Mercury Magnetics output transformer, you know, tube amp Dr. Caps. Right. And then, so I sourced all the parts from different companies, and I don't know. I think the transformer and the speaker probably made a difference, but everything else, I bet.
Really?
As long as it's in tolerance.
So minute that it's...
Yeah. You know, I mean, who knows, but I'm not going to do another one. It was a pain in the butt.
Well, you went for $3,000 or $4,000. <right? laughs>
It depends on how much time I was allotted.
Right. I just saw a good one, too. Brian Taylor, actually. Mm-hmm. Wants to know how your music is evolving and how you've evolved as a player.
Oh, okay. More song conscious than lick conscious, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess I've just been trying to write a lot. And I'm getting so into tone again that it's kind of bad. You know, we make the joke.
Make the joke.
We make him do everything. Other than repeat himself. But, but we make the joke, more Mel Bay, less eBay.
Right.
I've been totally guilty of that. As far as, like, my new job, my boss is a big-time vintage gear guy. Mm-hmm. So he's always getting this vintage gear, and I swear half the time I just play A chords. I just go, oh, that sounds so good. Oh, that sounds so good. You know, to where I should be playing and practicing. But be honest with you, I've been playing. I got a Martin, what's it called? An OM21. Mm-hmm. And it's like the smaller body Martin. And I've been playing the crap out of that.
It's just like writing stuff?
More writing
stuff then.
Yeah. That and this guy, Mel McCullough, built a guitar for me. And those two guitars never leave my couch. Mm-hmm. So I always have those readily available, and I rarely plug in at home.
Really?
Yeah. But now I got a man cave.
That's true, you just moved.
I just moved, and poor Brian, it took me, I think, 8 minutes to drive here. So I'm going to say it. When I moved to this town, they gave me a free tractor, a shotgun, and a Donald Trump yard sign.
Well, see, if you waited a week, you'd got your own spittoon. So that next week's free spittoon week.
It's free spittoon week.
Yeah.
No, but actually,
I told
like
you it. On the square on Thursdays we have spitting
contests. That cracked me up, dude. But it's cool because I was obviously living in, you know, not quite inner city Indianapolis, mm-hmm. but I was living in an area that was, you know, kind of, it wasn't going to get better. I'll just put it that way.
Right.
So it was kind of cool to get down to the country and have some land.
And I love the picture that you sent me. Like the day you moved in, it was a picture. I'll have to throw it to Bob to have it linked on
not,
there.
If not, I probably still have it.
You find a tractor, like, damn it, the first day
here. I ain't been here a week, and I'm stuck behind it. And it wasn't even like a big tractor that somebody was going to go do something with.
No, it was just
a guy who's like, well, I probably ought to go down yonder. I'm going to get my tractor. You know.
And I said, welcome to Martinsville.
Yeah, and he said, funny thing is, that actually is an international harvester.
That's funny. No, I'm kidding. Hey, let's see. Oh, this is a good one. I know the answer, but the three people that watch this might know. What will make me a better player? Practicing diligently, obsessing endlessly over gear, of course, and spending way more money and especially time on said obsessing than practicing. So which is better, practicing or buying stuff? I didn't know this answer.
Actually, you're gonna disagree with me. I think it's a fine line between basically whatever inspires you to pick up your guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Because who says practicing has to be, you know, doing all your scales and everything? Mm-hmm. Granted, you have to practice if, I don't care what it is. You know, if it's a sport, you got to practice to get better. If
right.
it's guitar, you got to practice to get better. But at the same time, if you're stuck with the same tone all the time, if you're playing through a little Marshall MG5 or whatever, mm-hmm. little solid state amp,
mm-hmm.
and then you switch to something different and then put like some cool Wampler pedals in front of it. but seriously though, you know, like for instance, how do you say it? Ethereal. Ethereal.
Yeah.
Like
if we ever actually do come out of that.
Like I was playing that, and that would, if I had something like that, I know I would play guitar for hours on end, and yeah. that would make me play my guitar longer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's gonna make you better just because it's in your hands.
Right.
So what's better, not practicing and just, I mean, I don't know. Does that make sense?
No, it totally makes sense. I mean, I know, like, with me personally, I hadn't played for... I mean, I'd played, but not, like, practiced.
Right.
I actually probably started practicing 6 months ago.
Right.
And not like forever, just, I mean, just, like...
Making it a point to do it.
Yeah, I mean, like, having a business and stuff, and breadboarding especially, you get really good, like, playing three chords, and then...
right, no one else, everything
and playing
right.
three chords, and at the end of the day, you've had a guitar in your hand, and you're like, I don't...
And you haven't done anything.
Yeah, you're like, I don't... Like, I've had this, like, right. I've been playing all... Sorry, it's totally spit.
You got more in your glasses than you did me.
Yeah. I don't even know what I'm saying now. I mean, it's not inspiring to really play when you're doing something like that, you know, because it's more...
Exactly.
That's more of, like, painting a picture with...
And I will say one thing too, and don't get me wrong, I love gear. I love the gear industry, and I'm just as much into gear as I ever have been. It's just different gear now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of been left behind in the boutique market because, like we were talking, a lot of it's going, you know, either there's another Overdrive being built that I just can't keep up.
Right.
But there are other things like, is it called the Avalanche Run by mm-hmm. Earthquaker?
Mm-hmm.
That looks cool. I'd love to play one of yep. those. So, I mean, there's things like that that I am kind of keeping up with. But being out of the gear industry for a year, I notice I have played guitar more.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this.
Right.
You know, you go home and after a day of...
After talking about it for 10 hours.
Yeah.
Last thing you want
yeah,
to do is to pick up
exactly.
a guitar.
You're talking about a boot. You go to one of these shows and somebody wants you to describe the decibel boost. And you're like... It's a button and a knob.
It makes it louder.
It makes it louder. You know what I mean? And, you know, I say that tongue in cheek, but there's a lot of truth to that. The last thing you want to do is go home and play guitar.
Right.
You know, and, you know, it's kind of like working for a different you. because I'll go to the office and my boss will say, hey, check out this guitar I just got, or check out this pedal I just got. And it's like, it's never anything new.
Right.
You know, but it's fun.
It's still something cool.
Yeah. So I'm not playing as much new gear as like I did when I worked for you, but I still do get to play new gear, but vintage gear.
Right.
But so
but
I don't know.
But you've been doing, like, you were doing like the WTF, it's called blues, because it's not like a Muddy Waters blues thing.
Right. Kind of like blues John rock. Mayer-ish kind of thing. Yeah.
And now you're doing more of
the 90s rock thing.
The Nirvana thing, right?
Yeah, right? Well, no, it's just, it's one of those things, too, and man, I'm going to sound so pretentious when I say this, but there's no other way to say it, is I'm very, very, very thankful for the record label that I had and giving me a shot. And without them, I wouldn't have had my third record. Right. You know, it just wouldn't have happened. I couldn't have afforded it. And I wouldn't have been able to tour the world, yada, yada, blah, blah. That's pretentious stuff. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, once you do that, it changes everything. And then it's a business, and you're constantly thinking about, I gotta write a new song, I gotta market this record, I gotta do this, that, and the other thing.
You start worrying more about business and less
about playing. Exactly. And it got to the point, literally, to where I'd book a big blues festival, and I'd be pumped. I'd be so high on that. Higher on that than actually playing the blues festival.
Right.
And that's when I realized, I need to back off. And then
your priorities got out of focus.
Right, exactly. And then, you know, I'm really lucky. I started playing guitar in 1996. Green Day was big. Nirvana. All that stuff was really easy.
But there's
to play.
A lot of guitar in music.
Right, exactly. But so it was one of those things. Now I go back and I listen to that stuff. And I was like, I ought to start a band. And one of my childhood friends just moved back up north from Knoxville, Tennessee, and he has the voice that's just perfect for that style of music.
Yeah, so he does sound really good.
Doesn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, he just sounds legit.
Exactly.
He doesn't sound like a guy covering those songs. He sounds like a guy that could have been in one of those bands.
Right.
Yep. So,
you think our kids are like, you know, whenever they're our age, they're going to like start a Drake cover band or anything like that?
I hope so. I'm going to go on record and say Hotline Bling is a killer tune. I love it, dude.
I like that Mike, what's it, Mike Posner, Take a Pill in Ibiza?
Yeah, that's a good one. That is a good one. So. But that, my favorite part about that Drake song is the very beginning where he just goes, like, it just goes, yeah. It's the best part. We'll have to put that in there, Bojo. Here. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
He wrote, they spent hours writing.
It's like, you gotta get the yeah in the perfect spot.
Because they start saying yo, like, something's missing.
It's kind of like you wonder if, like, when they were, the Beatles were writing, somebody was like, okay, here it goes. She loved you, ooh, ooh, ooh. And then maybe Paul's like, no, let's say yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's exactly what Drake was thinking.
Exactly.
To a T.
Drake.
Drake. Okay, so, so that was Bob Beamer. Total Concept pickups.
Love them. Like, okay, I've always been, speakers and pickups to me are one of those things to where it's going to sound better to you because you took all the time to do it. You know, or you forget what it sounded like before, and then after you do it, it always sounds better.
Right.
You know, so there is some of that. But that being said, I actually sat down, and it wasn't professional. It was just on my phone. I recorded the same settings and everything with one guitar, and then I recorded the ones with the new pickups. And the first set that David made me was such a specialty set that it sounded night and day different than anything else. Basically, he took, it was single coils.
Those aren't single coils.
I know. Well, I'm in Martinsville now. Single coils.
Single coils.
But anyways, they were reverse staggered. So instead of being E-A-D-G-B-E, you know, it was flipped around, so right. The A and the B strings were totally different. And then I mounted them in a guitar instead of, you know, how Strat bridge pickup does that.
Yep.
It's called the Voodoo pick guard or whatever, to where you mount it that way.
Really?
So basically, it's the exact same thing as playing left-handed.
Right.
So everything electronically is upside down. The only thing that's not is the headstock wasn't reversed.
Right.
So I put those in a guitar. And
you sound like Jimi Hendrix?
I didn't. But no, it is. There is something there, though, when you plug that into like a Univibe and then go into a 68 Plexi cranked.
Yeah.
It's convincing. Right. So, like, it...
Now, that's going to make a dramatic difference where
it,
your pickup
exactly.
Is.
So that's what I mean. It was so drastic. But then I was putting together my first ever Squire, and I love that guitar. Mm-hmm. And he sent me a message. He's like, hey, I got a set of pickups I want to send you to put in there. And so I put them in that guitar, and they sounded awesome. And they were like straight up blues rock. They had that like mid-range throaty growl that I had to take them out and put them in a nicer guitar. So yeah, I've got three sets of those, man. I'm a firm believer. Mm-hmm. The only guitar that doesn't have them in there is my Grosch. And that's just because I'm not saying that it wouldn't sound better, but I like that guitar, right. And I don't want to mess with
I've
it.
I've got a Telecaster like that over there where I don't want to change the pickup. So
right.
I'm
that's that
100%
flavor.
Happy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do have like that Strat that I broke the neck off. Actually, you made me break that damn neck.
You were afraid you were going to tear it up.
That Strat, I have those Tone of Concept pickups in it. I love that a lot. And there's a blend on the mid too, I think. I think it blends in. What's it do? Blend in the mid pickup.
Mid pickup,
or something,
yeah.
Like that. But I only use the bridge and the neck.
Right.
I never use it. So.
And here's the thing too. And I hope I don't make any pickup manufacturers mad, because I like a lot of guys. Like David Allen's great. He makes great pickups.
I like his songs too. Yeah. Well, that's their down cold. Never mind.
But the thing is with David at Tonal Concepts is it's like people want the boutique pickups and everything, and it's like, you cannot get more boutique than calling a guy and say, hey, I mean, there's a difference between boutique and custom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, completely custom is when you call a guy and say, hey, man, I want this sound. And then he'll start talking about, is that 4-bar wire, 42 gauge copper bobbins? And I'm like, I don't know. I have no idea.
If I knew, I'd make the
right. But no, I mean, the guy, like, and don't take this the wrong way, but like, if I knew enough to get into it with you on the geeky electronic side, you could totally geek out. And there's something cool about that, because the dude knows his stuff. You know your stuff. Same thing with David. He knows his stuff and knows how to relate it to guitar tones.
Right.
And the funny thing is, too, is he knows his history, because a friend of mine was going to get some. He's got a 59 Strat neck, mm-hmm. and he built a guitar around. And he had David do some 59 style pickups, and he was like, well, I'm 59, but in November 59 they change it, so do you want early 59 or late? And he like knew all this stuff, and it wasn't like I emailed him and he had time to research it. Mm-hmm. Like he just knew
he
it
just
off
knew
the
top
of his
head.
So it's like, that's my thing. It's every set is scatter wound, you know. He sits there and monitors the machine while he does it, mm-hmm. and his exact specs, and you can get them completely custom. So
that's cool.
I really do think that makes a difference. I mean, kind of like with the Velvet Fuzz, that was meant to just be something fun. When I was like, oh my God, that's a fuzz tone. I'm like, I thought you were just building me a one-off.
It sounded
and,
good. Man.
Yeah, right? And so I was like, dude, I got Brian Wampler to make me a custom pedal. You know, and that's how I feel every time. Yeah. That David makes pickups for me is I got this guy to build me a set of custom pickups, you know. Mm-hmm. There's something cool about that.
That is cool.
So there's a commercial for you. But that and he's a good dude.
Yeah, he actually is a good guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And not everybody in this industry is. So.
No, go names. Buy 50 sets of his pickups.
This guy just says lay sensor pickups, but I'm not sure what John's talking about.
So.
John, Michelle. That's John and Michelle.
Lay sensor pickups.
Yeah, I like them.
I've only played them in that Clapton Strat.
I haven't played them for tons of years. I can't speak.
I don't know. I mean, I imagine you can do anything. I mean, David Gilmour used them, right? For a while.
Yep.
Yeah. So can't argue with that.
So I'll wrap this up. If you want to answer this, you can. If you don't want to answer, you don't have to.
Okay.
Everyone has asked this so many times.
Okay.
And I'm tired of lying to people. Tired of, I can't take the line.
Okay.
What are you doing now?
Okay.
And why don't you still work now? It's, what do you know? What job could possibly be better than talking about guitar pedals all the time?
Okay, so basically I'm in sales. I'm a sales guy. So It's going to sound way cooler than what it is. Actually, it's really cool. I mean, I love what
you
I
did.
Do.
You did talk to celebrity, which was
I did. I've talked to a couple celebrities, yeah. No, it's you don't get to hang with all your favorite guitar players though, mm-hmm. which I will always miss that.
Do you guys have a NAMM of any sort?
Yeah, it's called NBAA, and it's in Vegas. Mm-hmm. But so I'm a broker, kind of like a real estate broker. It's very, there's a lot of parallels, but instead of houses, it's jet aircraft. Mm-hmm. So corporate aircraft specializing in citations. So gotcha. There you go.
And there's more money in that industry, which makes you not broker.
Well, broker. I see what you did. Bucket of beans. But no, so I mean, I'm an aircraft broker. See, it sounds cooler than it is.
You need a picture on a billboard.
Yeah, because people driving down the street will see a billboard and be like, I do need a jet aircraft. I knew I've been missing that.
I was just thinking yesterday what I could do with it.
Okay, so let me be straight. I'm learning how to be an aircraft broker. There's a long way to go. I don't want to make anybody think that you can just pick this up in a year and be like, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, that seems like, it's not one of the things you're like.
This is a long-term plan, you know. Basically, right now, I help my boss, you know. But right. I mean, and it's an industry that I'm learning. And for instance, I know that, is it Brad Jackson of Jackson Ampworks?
I think so.
That's his name, I think. I know he flies citations, so he's a pilot.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I mean, there's some people in the industry
Vince Gill.
Does he have an airplane?
I think so.
Does he?
I can find out. He has a shirt with an airplane on it. Does he?
I mean, there's not a lot of music. The one thing I will say is all these rappers rapping about G6s, mm-hmm. none of them have G6s.
You verified that.
I did verify that. Unless not maybe they're G6. Using, unless they're using different names.
Right.
You know, because I don't know if Lil Wayne, that's like actually his real name. I don't know. It's like, I'm going to call you Lil. So, but no, you never know. They may be, or they may be under a different business name, but there's not a lot of G6s out there.
True. That's true. Yeah. What did you say, 40 million for this?
Depends on the condition and everything, but.
All right, check.
write your check when we get back to the house.
All right, man. So, thanks for stopping by and, you know, come back or don't sometime.
Or don't. I'll drink your beer.
There you go. I hope you enjoyed this special episode with Travis, as much as I did, at least. I had a lot of fun. It's great catching up with the guy, and just a super good guy. He's a great friend of mine as well. If you have any questions or comments, please email podcast@wamplerpedals.com. You can also check out our Facebook page, our Facebook group page, rather, Wampler Pedals Tone Group, and you can ask questions there. Travis is a member of that as well, so you can ask him any questions you'd like. And until next time, we'll talk to you guys next week. See ya.